Oilers. We're the Houston Oilers. Houston Oilers. Houston Oilers number one. Yes, we're the Houston Oilers. Houston Oilers. Houston Oilers number one.
Hello, everyone. You're listening to Battle Red Radio. I'm Matt Weston, and tonight I'm joined by my fellow genie, my good friend Taylor. We're finally free. How are you doing tonight, man?
I just don't want to talk about anything genie related. After watching Wonder Woman 84, all I think all I think about is the villain being a genie and magic wishes happening. I just don't want to think about that, but you know what? I'm happy to be here tonight. Oh my God, genie and wishes just don't sit well with me right now. They just don't.
Well, that's what I was thinking about. I was like, as soon as the season was over, be like, you're free, genie. And now we can talk about really good football and playoff football. Like, the NFL season isn't over yet because I think we're just getting started, but we're free from having to spend 3 hours every Sunday just watching the absolute dredges of the NFL. So today, I got to watch the Houston Texans play the Tennessee Titans.
Hold on. What station was I on here? Somehow with CBS.
Oh, I had it. No, I had to stream it off like Reddit.
Okay. I'm in Texas and you are in Texas.
Yes.
And you have to stream.
Yes.
In order for you to get the Houston Texans.
Yes.
Game. And because you know what I had to watch was the Arizona Rams game.
I'm sure that was fun.
You know what was a total piece of dog crap?
The Arizona Rams
game. Just going to throw that out there. I'd much rather watch the ending being a field goal than anything else.
Well, so I don't know. I've been having to stream it like this for the last, like, month or so.
Well,
I kind of like it. It's kind of nice because I can just pull up on the computer and sit here and, I don't know.
I thought CBS wasn't allowed NFC games.
It's all been wonky this year.
Oh, my
There's been no God. Rules. The
yeah,
tops
no
have been
rules.
Off. Yeah.
It's the old west.
Yeah, there's public displays of nudity allowed this year.
Love it.
So Houston loses 41-38. The last drive, like, so Tennessee runs, this is my favorite play in the league right now. It's when Tennessee runs his own read in the red zone with Derrick Henry, Ryan Tannehill. Every time they run it, 17 guys run to Derrick Henry.
I was going to say, they just go that one way.
Yes, and then,
Tannehill's
wide open.
That's all it is.
Every time he does, he celebrates with a layup, which is the widest thing in the world, and I love it. And I'm like, yeah.
You love the widest thing?
Yes.
That's okay.
It's like, see, dunking is overrated, even though
I'm six foot six,
you know, it takes me a while to be able to dunk, and it's very overrated to be able to dunk or not. So he hits that. Then Houston comes back. Deshaun Watson scrambles in the pocket. He finds David Johnson on a dump off. And then at that dump off, David Johnson takes off 31 yards. Then Deshaun Watson hits Kiki Cutie down the sideline because Adoree Jackson underplays the ball. Now they're set up, and then Watson hits Chad Hansen in the hands on 3rd and 10. Hansen drops it. Now we have 51-yard Kymie Fairbairn field goal. Fairbairn's the third highest paid kicker in the NFL. Awful.
Is he really?
Past 50 yards.
I don't think we've talked about that. Wait, is he really?
Third highest paid kicker.
How? Wait, because what?
Because of Bill O'Brien.
Okay, I really had no
Bill
idea.
Who's
paid?
No,
Tucker? Who else?
I don't know.
Okay, that just blew my mind.
I don't feel
like
going through the list.
Yeah, that's fair.
Is he a third or fourth? But he's
that's
one,
weirdest
yes.
thing I've ever heard.
It's because Bill O'Brien had no idea like what the monetary value is of a player.
That's the thing. Did he have a budget or anything?
No, he had no. He's just like,
this is what guys are really worth, Bill.
Really, what he was doing, it's like when you make a mixed drink without a shot glass, you're like, yeah, it looks good.
Exactly right. He's like, all right, 2 seconds.
Put your finger
one,
in it. Give
two.
It a little taste. Yo, if you're good with that, I'm good with that. Yeah, we'll do that. So Fairbairn, good from, you know, like if the kick is, all right, he's good 40 yards or less, but he's bad extra points and 50-plus yard field goals, and he rocks a 51-yard field goal to tie it. But then the Titans hit the ball. 3 timeouts, like 17 seconds.
That's all I need.
They play 2 safeties deep. You get A.J. Brown on Keon Crossan. Then you watch both safeties go like this, and the middle of the field's wide open for A.J. Brown. And you're like, what are you even doing, you know? And like,
I want to go home. That's what it's called. I want to go home.
I want to go home.
You separated. I want to go home. This is how you know.
Oh, man. But like, and I think it was such a beautiful end to the season because one of the problems that the Texans have had all year is, one, they lose close games. They were 9-3 one-score games, including the postseason. This year, they finished 2-8 one-score games. And I go by 8 points or less because you can always get the 2-point conversion, you know. And so that portion of it. But the second thing, too, is that Anthony Weaver was taking on a defense that got actively worse this offseason. They added Eric Murray. They lost Tayshaun Gibson, Derek, and DJ Reader. And their entire draft, like, nobody contributed at all this year as well, too. Their players they already had got worse. And Anthony Weaver just made, like, just dozens of just, like, confoundingly dumb decisions all year long after, like, saying all the right things. He talked of being a really good defensive coordinator. And so here it is, the last play of the regular season. And you go,
dude, you say I want to go home. That's what it means. You separate the guys going from toe to toe into the field.
It was unbelievable. And it was just like, this is what we've been seeing all year from him, you know. And it was a great throw, a great catch by Brown. Like, Tannehill's been doing it all year, though, like, on these deep passes. Just absolutely perfect.
He's just reading the defense pretty well. Because I get what you're saying with Houston, but I feel like you've been complaining all year about this Houston defense.
Yeah.
Where I don't think there's one single player that you are a fan of.
I mean, I love JJ. Justin Reed's good.
But I even feel like I've given more credit to JJ, and you're kind of like, it's an old man tour type thing.
For sure.
Yeah,
but,
you don't seem like very positive.
But like, because Watt didn't play hard for the first 6 weeks against the run. He was saving himself for the pass, and he wasn't a very good pass rusher.
But that's what I mean. It's like, yeah, you like JJ, but yeah, then you kind of just like throw him under the bus. Yeah. Hey, JJ, I like you, but let me back up this bus on you real quick here.
Yeah, but he's not like a $20.5 million player anymore. That's the point of it.
That.
He's not JJ anymore. And like, he's had some good games. He's had some moments, but he wasn't Watt at all anymore this year. And so like, that portion of it was a little frustrating, of course. But yeah, I mean, like, him, Justin Reed, like, Zach Cunningham is okay, but he's not, here's $12 million a year. And to anchor down a front seven, which he cannot do. Because you know why he was good last year? He'd play on the backside every play. And you'd see Reader and Menardrick McKinney just like taking on five guys at once. And Cunningham would stand there and then just run past offensive guards, offensive tackles, trying to reach the backside, and just deliver kill shots. Like, this is the easiest job in football. They found a perfect spot for him. They got the utmost out of him. And now they're paying him to be like the anchor of front seven, and he isn't that sort of player. But he did have one play today where he was being blocked, and he spun out of the block with his eyes closed and his arms stuck out and punched the ball at Derrick Henry's hand. It was like a pinata. He was blindfolded hitting a pinata.
Yeah, yeah. But did he make contact with the pinata?
Yeah, he hit the ball. It was beautiful.
If he made contact with the ball, regardless if the eyes are closed, guess what? Eli Manning's eyes were closed when he made the downfield pass in the Super Bowl.
That's fair.
People make fun of it, but guess what happened? You made the play.
Yeah,
you make the play, you make the play.
He made the play. Yeah, and today he made a great play.
All right.
By playing pinata.
Fine.
But like, all throughout this year, though, it's been a problem though for him. From like him like anchoring down a front seven, being the leader of it. He's just not that sort of player, but he's paid like the linebacker you need him to be, which he isn't at all.
Like, he should be doing that every game.
But even like that, even being said, it's like a once-in-a-lifetime
play. Like, I weirded out by me saying that.
Yeah, because that's a once-in-a-lifetime play. But so then after Tannehill hits the pass to A.J. Brown, then they ran the ball to Derrick Henry, you know, set it up to actually, you know, go out there and kick the field goal. And the first one, Romeo Crennel ices, of course, because, you know, he's 78 years old and doesn't have that icing doesn't matter at all. But it kind of works because the second kick, and the kicker, I think his name is Chad. It's his first name. I know his last name is Sloman. Enormous guy. He's a real tank. He's a real chonker of a kicker.
I don't know who that is.
He's like their third string kicker because I guess Gostkowski's hurt.
Is that doing them a favor?
Maybe. I don't know.
I'm just really asking a question there.
But I did enjoy how like heavy set Sloman was. But he comes in, his second kick attempt, it's trailing wide right. You're like, oh my God. It's going in overtime. I can't believe we're gonna do this still. And then it hits the goalpost like in the center of it, not even like the inside, and then somehow like spun and then flipped around through the goalpost, and the Titans went in overtime and they clinched the AFC South. And the Colts end up, you know, being a wild card team instead.
And you know what I would do right now if I'm the Tennessee Titans? Even if Gostkowski is healthy, you immediately keep that guy. That confidence now for that kicker is just soaring through the roof.
That's also magic,
exactly.
Too.
If he missed that kick, you probably, no matter what, whoever returns from being healthy, you put him back.
Yeah.
However, dude, that's confidence now. What that kid now gets is the ultimate boost. And even if it's a crappy kick, which, by the way, of course it is. Don't ever get me started about crappy kicks. You want me to go back to the Mason Crosby, Dallas Cowboys, in the Dallas Cowboys Stadium with Dak Prescott's rookie year, where it went right.
Yeah.
And then a fan blew it left. That is what happened. There is no other way to explain it.
Yeah, that reminds me of too is whenever Bridgewater is playing Seattle in the playoffs outside in like 7 degrees. And then they had the kick that would have won the game that went wide right. And then it was like a meme in like 2015 or whatever the year it was. And the meme was Lance Stephenson blowing the ball for whatever he was blowing LeBron's ear that postseason.
By the way, that is still the greatest tactic I've ever heard of.
Yeah,
I'm just going to blow in your ear to distract you. If an NFL player did that, what, instead of the fighting that you have to see, in this case with Tulsa, oh my God, did you see that nonsense? Talk about a brawl. And by the way, all those guys
are gone. So if you lived in Mississippi, would you be a Mississippi State guy or an Ole Miss guy?
I'd be an Ole Miss.
I think I'd be an Ole Miss guy.
You would.
But I think I'd end up being a Mississippi State guy.
Okay, well, that's a little bit different. If you're telling me that, yeah, I'm an Ole Miss guy and I would belong in Ole Miss, but however, where am I going to get accepted? I'm going to get accepted into Mississippi State, and that's where I'm going.
No, I mean, just like, I think I would be this, but actually I'm really that. And I think the reason why I say that is just because, like, I don't think I'm cool enough to go in this, one. And then number two, I love all of Ole Miss's like defensive players. They have a ton of guys who come out there defensively who are great.
I just love kind of like and this is where I'm going to get like you a little bit. The lettering
I
of
love
everything.
I love everything.
It looks
Miss
so
that way.
Classy.
I love the
like
colors.
The See, I didn't want to get like you, but that's where I'm going to agree this
time. I love
time.
The light blue. And
Ole
beautiful.
Miss just looks like, man, I'm jelly because that's classy.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at with him. So, yeah, to get away from that whole fight, I just wanted to bring that up because.
But you know what
I'm
coming from?
I know
like,
where you're coming
I would
from.
Like to be an Ole Miss guy, but I don't think I'm an Ole Miss guy.
Dude,
I'm pretty sure I'm a Mississippi
there.
State guy, though.
Yeah, I would get accepted Mississippi State. That's where I'm going to end up going.
Okay.
How do you know that?
Yeah,
I'm
that's
stuck.
Fine. That's fine.
You know why? Because I'm my great target.
And William Faulkner worked at the heater and shoveled coal in the heater and wrote The Sound of Fury like that.
That's what we need to be doing.
Yeah.
We need to start doing that. Because obviously you make great things whenever you're shoveling
coal. He would work from midnight to 4 o'clock every night. And you just sit there and ride that time.
Dude, what else are we doing? Let's do it.
I don't know.
4 million listeners can wait.
I really want to go that game one day. So, but yeah, other than that being said, so Derrick Henry, you know, his new nickname is now?
Mr. 2000?
No, it's DH2K.
Oh, really?
Because remember whenever Chris Johnson did it, he was CJ2K.
Yeah, but CJ2K is like, that's a ring. I don't know if DH2K is like as big as a CJ2K.
No, H and K.
DH2K, that's just DH2K. I don't know. It's CJ2K. It just goes together, man.
I think
like
it's not
flow
as good.
To it.
It's not as good, but it's still good. It's not CJ2K.
It's not CJ2K.
But DH2K is still good.
It's okay.
And it continues the tradition that they have going on in Tennessee.
That's true, too, actually. Yeah. I didn't even think about that. Yeah. Wow, that's pretty wild. Has anybody brought that up?
No. I think it was Chris Johnson and then Adrian Peterson, now Henry, like the only like 2,000-yard rushers of like the last like 15
years. Chris Johnson
years
won every fantasy football league that year, and then the next year he lost every fantasy football league.
Of course, that's
year.
How it works.
That's how it goes.
That's how it works.
So to kind of go off of that, do you think Derrick Henry will be able to duplicate this? I mean, do you
think he's playing Baltimore next week.
Do you? No.
Next year?
No, next year. I'm kind of going over the 2000s. I think so, too. I think he's
completely different.
Me, too. I'm so, like, weirded out by this where everyone usually, when you're talking about a running back, oh, it's about the amount of touches he gets. It's about the workload. It's about guys that are hitting him. He's hitting the guys.
Yeah.
He's the and one he, that's not like, having the like the blows against the body. It just seems like he's healthy and he's just burning and turning.
Mm-hmm. Well, and also he reminds me of like a side-scrolling fighter when you fight a boss and they have 4 health bars and you have 1 health bar. And it's like every quarter you go through a health bar, but he still ends up like, it still ends up taking like 7 quarters to beat him. And also he's really agile too. Like he doesn't take any big hits.
Yeah.
And like even on the edge, like he makes cornerbacks miss whenever he like cuts through the field defender. He had that long touchdown run today. And like Jacob Martin, maybe like the fastest player in the Texans defense, where he's like 250 edge rusher, runs like a 4.5. Henry torched him, you know? And it's like, it's not even close to a foot race on some of these guys too. It makes zero sense. And like talking to, I can't remember the guy's first name. I feel bad that I don't remember his first name.
You're such a
but
terrible
person. He's Titans former on Twitter whenever he did our season preview some of the Titans. He was like, well, the thing people don't know about Henry is that he didn't get a whole lot of carries at Alabama. didn't get a whole lot of carries in Tennessee until DeMarco Murray retired. And so even though he's like 27 now, he's like a young 27 for a running back. Like, he hasn't had the typical like workload that like Dalvin Cook has or Kamara has, just because like when he took over that role in Tennessee, because that didn't happen until the 17th season.
Is it his third year, you would say, maybe, that like he's really been used kind of as that workhorse?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, it was 17, so it's only been 3 years of this where he's been used this way. And then he gets better as the year goes on, as the quarter goes on. You know, he's Mr. December, you know?
It's just the weirdest thing on why I think it's just so different. He just seems more like a Bo Jackson, where you just think that the only way that's going to be able to get this guy out of the game is that if he does it to himself.
His femur explodes.
Yeah, it's like if something in his body does it, but it's not going to be the defender, it's not going to be a player, it's not going to be even hits against him.
Yeah.
It's just going to be something freaky that happens because he's a freak of nature to begin with.
Exactly. And he's also 6'4", 260. He doesn't make any sense. He's 245. He's 245.
You know what? We should somehow look up this Vegas bet, and same with everybody else. I want to know what the odds are for him to duplicate a 2,000-yard season.
I think there'll be an over-under, and you bet the over, probably.
I
would have bet my life that he would have broke 2,000 yards today. He was 223 short. I'm like, he has to do it.
He's going
to
do it. He has to do it. And they're just going to keep feeding him until he does it. Because he's also the guy where you feel like he deserves it.
Yeah.
You feel like this is an individual. Okay, I get it.
And all the nerds are like, well, the Titans need to understand that Derrick Henry's not the heart and soul of the Titans. It's their actual play action passing. I'm just like, it isn't. Okay. I understand that Tannehill's more efficient because the ball is better than running the ball. But it's all an ecosystem. It's like saying like the ants are more important than the Hawks. You know?
I think
they're all part of the same food web.
I think Tannehill and Derrick Henry,
it's perfect.
Are they BFFs? They better be. Otherwise,
I think the whole team loves each other.
Okay, if they're not best friends, I would be extremely disappointed because they just seem like they're both having a good time.
Yeah. Well, and their problem this year, though, is they have a bomb 5 defense. Mike Vrabel's been the defense coordinator.
But who's even noticed?
He hasn't done a good job this year. And then, like, Clowney was supposed to be a game changer.
Where's the Clowney watch?
Of all the things I was wrong about this year, the thing I was most wrong about was the Titans defense. I thought it was going to be a slam dunk, like, top 10 defense. And they were going to be a Super Bowl contender because of it. And they have some regression offense, like, especially in the red zone. It's the same. Their red zone offense is
like
just as good this
better.
Year. No, it hasn't, I don't think.
Really? Overall?
I'm talking about only with Tannehill at quarterback. I think they scored touchdowns 93% of the time, and then they were at like 82% this year.
Well, yeah, no, and hold on.
I'll have to check the numbers, though.
You need to also look this up. Didn't I say that because Mariota started 3 extra games or something along those lines, that if you add those games to Tannehill's total, that it would equal 13-3? I think I said this at the beginning of the season.
Granted,
I was the jackass, and I still chose the Colts to win, which I was close to.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think I was a little bit right.
I picked Tennessee to win it, Indy be a wildcard team, and Houston be a wildcard team, but be the 7th seed, and, you know, they went 4-11 instead. 4-12.
But here's also what I did not expect, because I was laughing at you, which I'm not even going to be laughing at you anymore. How many games did y'all lose by a touchdown or less?
8.
Okay.
They won 9 games last year. They lost 8 this year.
Okay. Like, that's where I just kept noticing where no matter what, I truly believe that Houston would be blown out every single game, which just, this is where you and I kind of got into a little, I think like 2 weeks ago, whatever. Dude, Deshaun.
Yeah. He's a top 5
Matt
quarterback.
Deshaun. No. Matt, he's top 3. Deshaun.
Well, who's the top 3 then?
Patty, Deshaun, and this year, fine, Aaron. Because I'm still not going to put your boy Allen ahead of those three.
I think it's like if we just go off this year's performance. So if it's just this year's performance, it's Rodgers, Mahomes, Allen, and Watson. Just for this year. I would put Watson over Allen because of what he's done over his career. Whereas like Allen's had this like incredible year this year, but it all stemmed from his ability to throw the ball downfield to set the rest of that up.
If you're going off of this year and you're going off of just like the stats and the team alone, fine. But switch them, dude.
Yeah, I would say like if we're going into next year and we're talking about it, that's how I'm gonna say it. But as of right now, that's how it is in this season.
What would Allen do with this Houston Texans team?
Oh, it'd be
like, think about it. You're laughing. This is your boy that you love, and you're laughing because that's what I'm thinking in my head, too.
Or imagine Josh Allen with Bill O'Brien trying to turn him into a quarterback.
Yeah. Oh, by the way,
with Tim Kelly calling the offensive plays.
That's actually bringing up another good point, though. who knows what type of quarterbacks people could have been
if they
had the right coach, which it proves.
Sam Darnold's a good example.
It just proves that. Well, you're talking about Fisher's a genius.
Yeah.
And well, totally
and then, I mean, like, there's some guys here who are so transcendent they can get past. Like Watson's an example of that.
Yes.
I think Justin Herbert's an example of that. But there's some guys who just like aren't transcendent enough to get past like bad coaching, you know? And like a lot of times it comes down to Finn being the right spot, you know?
If Deshaun had Hopkins this year.
God, he misses him so much.
Oh, my.
You see Hopkins give the ref the middle finger?
I did. Which, here's the thing.
It was a penalty.
That was a penalty on you. Dude, you threw the guy down.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, oh, maybe not. No. You wrapped your arms around him and you threw him to the side. You can't do that no matter what. Even though, dude, I watched this whole Arizona and Rams game because I had to sit through this crap because, you know, I'm in Texas and I can't watch a Texans game. The Ramsey gets away with so much. I don't understand why somehow Ramsey gets away with being handsy. Being able to
jump on Ramsey,
here he comes. Ew. But it's annoying.
But he's like a substitute teacher. He's like, oh, we got handsy Ramsey today.
Or nosy Ramsey. Handsy Ramsey nosy. Nosy handsy Ramsey. I like that more.
Which would be worse, to have a handsy substitute teacher or a handsy bus driver?
Handsy bus driver. Handsy bus driver. I don't even think it's close.
I guess because you have to deal with them every day.
Yeah.
Instead of like, you know, every like month or so.
Well, a substitute teacher too, it's more like usually they put a movie on.
Yeah.
So at least you get something out of it. The bus drive, that's just all horrible.
But I feel like
there is nothing else.
I feel like a handsy substitute teacher though, I was like, I'm not going to be in the school for another 6 weeks. I feel like they're a little more dangerous and feel like they can get away with more. May push the envelope a little too far.
Yeah, but to go back to your point, you only see them that one time then if they're getting that handsy.
Yeah, but trauma lasts a lifetime though.
But if it's happening for an entire year versus 6 months,
but
I'll
maybe
take
the bus driver
was
like just a little. I think the bus driver would be a little less handsier than the substitute teacher.
And now we are making a benefit to the bus driver here. We're giving them the benefit of the doubt.
I think they'd be a little bit less handsier as well.
You know what you're saying? Maybe the bus driver just had a really bad upbringing, Taylor.
No,
they just didn't mean to do
that. So this is the bus driver. This is the substitute teacher. Lower hand on back, a substitute teacher. Bus driver's hand on the shoulder.
Okay. So what you're saying is that a bus driver is lips. The substitute teacher is butt.
No, I'm not saying
that's
that.
That's what you said, dude.
I don't want to go that far.
I don't want to go there either, but you
said
it.
But you have the same principle there.
All right. Show me on the doll.
And it's the same neighborhood, but that's not what I'm saying.
I'm not
I'm
going
saying
there.
Upper back or lower back.
That's I don't want to go there, neighborhood.
But yeah, I know what you mean. Like, Ramsey does get away with a lot.
So much.
I love Ramsey, though.
Why? Oh, he's a great corner. Yeah, any corner would be great if they could jump on the back of a guy and then say, look, I swatted the ball.
That's fine. I just really have enjoyed how much he's tackled this year, too. And like I said, I kind of like the Rams this year. I know you don't like the Rams.
They are awful. I can't wait for them to lose in the first
round.
Yeah,
I think so, too.
Oh, my God. It's going to make me so happy to watch them lose.
All right, so for the Houston game, that was all I have to say. I guess the last thing I wanted to say is, like, I know we had this conversation earlier in the year where it was like, I still don't buy, like, Watson being a top-five quarterback as he's prayed out to be. Just I didn't think the offense was that good.
How do you feel now?
And it's gotten consistently better as, like, more and more players have left and have been, like, suspended and injured and everything else. And, like, yeah, he's a top-five quarterback. He's absolutely incredible. And like some of these throws he made today, I'm like, what is this? Like, this is unbelievable. Just like the touch and the arc and the trajectory. I mean, it was absolutely absurd how good he was today.
You know he's going to be like, I'm just going to throw this out there to everybody. I hate this. Houston Nation, I want you to hear me it's about to be very real. He's Dan Marino.
Okay.
There we go. He's going to do so many great things. He is going to break records, I feel. He is going to do everything perfect. Great, wonderful.
No Super Bowl.
No Super Bowl.
Or whenever he gets there, he's going to get hurt really bad.
And by the way, I think y'all will actually
Marino,
have a chance.
No,
think y'all are
going
to have a shot at one Super Bowl here, and I just think that something's going to occur.
I can see the trajectory. Like, I've watched some Marino clips, and he reminds me of Mahomes as far as like the way they play.
Yeah.
But like as far as like you're talking about career trajectory.
That's where I'm at.
I think he's going to be more like, I think the way the Texans are set up right now, they're going to be like, the 2014 Packers, where after they won a title and they kept being like 7-9 or 8-8-1 or 9-7, kept like either making the postseason, barely making the postseason, and not being like a Super Bowl contender at all because of how bad their team was and lack of their investment, their defense, and everything else. I could see that's my trajectory I see for Houston for the next like know, two or three seasons. And again, a lot of this is depending on like who their general manager is, who their head coach is, what they do this offseason, because I do think there's a lot of like internal development available to whoever the next coaching staff is, but that's the way I kind of see them. I see them as like 2014 Aaron Rodgers is how I see the Texans right now.
Well, I mean, the good news about the Texans is that they have a top five draft pick.
Oh, yeah. So with them losing today, the Miami Dolphins get the third overall pick.
Oh, my God. So they got, oh, my God. That makes me so sick to my stomach right now.
And no, and this is my favorite part about it, because when the Tunsil trade was made, one of the big arguments about it was everybody going like, well, the Texans are going to be good in 2021. It's going to be a mid-20s pick. It's not going to be that good of a pick at all. There's no way it's going to be a bad pick. It's like, you have no idea how the NFL is such a high variance league. Yeah, like you have no clue
like
at all. Yeah. Well, and even like Seattle's general manager said the same thing when they traded Jamal Adams. She was like, Adams is just a defensive lineman. Like watching some of the plays that Adams doesn't make, it's kind of embarrassing for what they gave up for him too, in the same sense. It's kind of, but it's no different than with the Tunsil thing too, in a lot of ways. But like, let's say, imagine Russell Wilson gets hurt next year. That's a top five pick. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like, you have no idea what's going to happen in a high variance league. And yeah, like the Tunsil trade again was great last year because Houston gave up zero current assets for it. It was all future assets. And now here they are. And the Bills are due. And I mean, it's a disaster, an absolute disaster.
Well, completely. And it's not like the Dolphins are a good team already. So yeah, it's going to be a real.
And it hurts
real
my feelings
situation.
Too because it makes it harder for, you know, Buffalo moving forward.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's going to be a dogfight for, like, 4 years now.
Miami is going to be scary, scary.
Yeah.
And it's just a shame because they're just going to keep starting Tua, and that's going to be their biggest mistake.
I mean, there was that report earlier this year that they're not sold on Tua yet, and they could possibly draft a quarterback this year.
The only way they would draft a quarterback is if somehow Lawrence falls because he threw the Ohio State game. Let me repeat myself. Okay. Trevor Lawrence threw the Ohio State game. Don't give me, oh, look how bad he looks. I don't think he's the number one pick. You know why he's not the number one pick? Because he didn't want
to.
He
didn't play for
one.
Jacksonville.
There it is. He didn't want
to. I think
to
he
be
looked good in
pick.
Jacksonville, though.
I don't know who you would rather. At this point, the Jets are going to take. I don't know what you would want.
The Jets are either going to stick with Darnold and trade out number two, or they're going to take a quarterback number two.
I actually think they should stick with Darnold because you drafting a young quarterback isn't going to do anything.
You're redoing your rebuild again.
Yeah.
Well, and the thing about it also, it's like if you do that and you get an extra, you get two extra first-round picks because it's like Fields was, you know, absolutely tremendous and he's been really great this year as well too. And also like if you get a different offensive coordinator, like who knows what Darnold can be. Like Darnold's like 5% like this is incredible. And then it's just he has 90% like this is the worst thing I've ever seen. And so it's like how do you turn more of that 5% to balance out that 90? It's like cram into a really good quarterback. And yeah, there's some potential there. Maybe it's worth getting one more year out of. Who knows? But it's a very like difficult decision to make though.
I think it all depends on if somebody's going to be offering you the farm. Then obviously you're going to be able to take it.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody's not offering you the farm, I just think that you have to go with whatever's the best player on the board, regardless of position.
Yeah.
I just think you're stuck in that spot.
Yeah.
It's like if you're the number one pick in fantasy, to your point. No matter what, you have to pick McCaffrey.
And if he gets hurt, your year's over.
And your year's over. Yeah, it's like the same thing. No matter what in fantasy football this year, if you didn't pick Christian McCaffrey, no matter what the end result was, you're an idiot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Plain and simple.
Well, I don't know anything at all about the draft, and I'll watch some stuff in March once free agency ends as well, too. And we get more into that as that portion of the year comes on. But yeah, I mean, like, as far as the Texans season goes this year, and we're going to do another show tomorrow night with the one and only Tim to go over your listener questions and then kind of, like, wrap up the 2020 season to – like, I don't know, to a grand extent, we may do another one of these again for like a season review sort of thing. But the biggest thing, like my biggest takeaway from this year was that like you're sacrificing what's currently going on for a better future, you know, and whether that's like going on a diet or exercising or studying or going to school or whatever else, like you're sacrificing like your current utility for like some better version of yourself, something that you may want in the future. But that's what the 2020 Texan season was. It was a sacrificing 2020 to get rid of Bill O'Brien just because, you know, there's a better future out there with him as the head coach. And like if Houston was 9-7 made the postseason, they would have kept him. If they went 10-6 and made the postseason again, they would have kept him. And so like, they needed a year like this to be able to exercise him. And then move on, move forward, and actually like develop a good football team again.
When do you get a first round pick again?
2022.
Okay.
And they're paying Tunsil and Deshaun Watson, I think, $65 million combined next year.
That sounds good to me. So in the end...
And there's $7 million over the salary cap right now.
What are you hoping for exactly then in this offseason? Are you just going to throw away next season as well?
No, I'm hoping like you try to find somebody who wants David Johnson, which isn't going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
You try to find somebody who wants Brandon Cooks, which probably isn't going to happen.
Who wants that?
I don't know. People, Texans fans love Brandon Cooks.
Why?
I don't. They're insane.
Look at this package deal. David Johnson, Brandon
this is
Cooks.
All Brandon Cooks does is he runs deep crossers because he's fast enough to run horizontally. And it takes him 5 seconds to get open, and Deshaun Watson throws a perfect pass. You can find somebody else to do that for $5 million.
Yeah.
He's due $12 million next year, and he doesn't win down the sideline at all anymore, which doesn't open up the middle of the field, and that was the idea of this offense to be built around. But it happened like that this year either, so I don't know. I mean, it's like you get rid of all the dead weight, you try to trade what you can for mid-round picks, you try to actually get some like good bargain bin free agent finds, and again, it's like you hope these players that are young can become good with a better head coaching staff, you know, and coaching staff in general next year.
I just don't have any hope. I just feel like this is going to be the same thing, if not worse, next year.
I mean, I think
unless
like,
Deshaun turns into Jesus himself, which, by the way,
or just wins more close games next year.
Yeah, but your
which could happen.
Yeah, but your team's going to let you down. No matter what, I'm not even
I mean, like, he didn't get the chance to win some of them.
I mean, what do you want me to do? You know what I mean? All right, you know, let me make you feel better. You know what, Matt? You're right. This team is going to turn it
around. I'm not saying that.
Go, go, Power Rangers!
I'm saying there's, like, a possibility they could be a playoff team next year. But the next head coach has to be good. The general manager has to be able to hit on some
bargain
picks.
You're getting Jason Garrett.
Do
you like that?
I would probably stop. I'd probably stop. But it's also like last year, you know, Watson threw a touchdown pass to beat Oakland with his eyeball hanging out of his head. This year, Nick Martin skids the snap across the turf, so Watson doesn't even have the chance to make a touchdown pass with his eyeball hanging out of his head. And so like his team this year didn't even give him the chance to win these one score games. Like last year, like he had the ball last and they didn't like actively hurt the team. So who knows? I mean, I don't think like for sure like next year's gonna be a 4-win team or anything. Like there's potential they could fight for a postseason spot. But again, like the ceiling is we're 7-9. Like that's the ceiling. The ceiling is we're but then we have 3 wins that went our way and we had an easy schedule and we're 9-7 and we have the 24th best defense next year. Like that's the ceiling next year.
That sounds like good stuff to me, man. I'm
yeah.
all about it over here. Yeah,
it's
that's
gonna
a
be fun.
Good time.
So over there, do you want to talk about the Dallas Cowboys at all? I haven't had a chance to watch this game yet.
What are we going to talk about
I don't know.
Here?
I just don't know if there's anything
you want
to say. I got
everything that I wanted, okay? It just took a little bit of time here.
Yeah.
But it's just so bad. It's so bad to watch because they didn't want to show up for the first half, and then all of a sudden we're going to show up in the second half. Andy Dalton just turned back into Andy Dalton, timid, I don't know what to do, blah, blah, blah. Listen, in the end, I don't care. Mm-hmm. I have a better draft pick now. That's all I want. Because either way, even if New York doesn't make it, they should have a worse pick than us. I don't even know what our pick's going to be, but we're 6-10. It should be something good in the top 10, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think so. I would hope. Good God, if I'm not in the top 10, I'm so pissed off.
I hope y'all are 11.
Oh, I'm so angry if I'm not in the top 10, because otherwise, all the other wins just seem stupid. I wanted Dallas to be able to... You won all the games beforehand. Obviously, when it comes to the last game of the season where you have to win it just to make sure you have a shot, what do? You lose it. You're classic Dallas. You're just classic Dallas all year long to me. Nothing, COVID, whatever, Dak's injury, whatever. This team is just the exact same. Nothing has changed. I'm just left with a big disappointment, even though for this year, I'll say I am happy because I want the draft pick.
All right, so you're going to have some good news.
What do I got?
You're about to be very happy. Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right. Detroit. So here's the draft order for 2021. Number 1, Jacksonville. Number 2, New York. Number 3, Miami. Number 4, Atlanta. Number 5, Cincinnati. Number 6, Philadelphia. Number 7, Detroit. Number 8, Carolina. Number 9, Denver. And your Dallas Cowboys at number 10.
There it is, baby.
The Giants are number 11 right now.
There it
is. So if y'all won, you would have gone back past that, and you would have at least picked at least 11th if y'all won. And Washington ended up winning today as well, too.
So that's good.
I'm
number 10. And you know what? I can deal with that because it's all about who would drop to me. But also, if nobody drops, what are they going to want? That's what I'm most curious about, because now you should probably just build up the defense. I would imagine Mike Nolan's going to be fired here. I would imagine that McCarthy's still going to have an extension, even though, did you hear about the reports here with some Kellen Moore?
He's staying.
He's staying, and he signed an extension.
Yeah.
But also, there were reports that said that he did sign. So, is it the same thing where Jerry made a phone call?
He's going to Boise. He's like, look, Kellen. Are you sure you ain't going to Boise?
Is that what this is coming down to? It's Jerry once again putting his hand into the cookie jar where he gets the report and Kellen coming into the office. Hey, Jerry, I signed a contract. I'm going to be the coach of my alma mater. Like, this is what I've been looking forward to. And Jerry's just sitting back going,
Yeah.
He walks out of the office. Jerry makes a call. He calls Boise. He's like, hey.
Hey, that new science building.
Yeah.
How much does it cost that new science building?
I just want to let you
know
this isn't happening. All right?
No, I like the idea of him like spending $100 million to build a new science building at Boise State for him.
That works. I would take that. Either way, somebody made a phone call to where then Kellen came back and said, Jerry, the weirdest thing happened. I just wasn't able to. Here's a contract, Kellen. Mm-hmm. Why don't you just sign this extension and we'll call it even?
I like it.
What is this? This is like the Godfather type of crap that goes on with the Dallas organization.
There's just a dead horse in Kellen Moore's bed.
And it's the same thing with even the Tony Romo, which is why I go back to this. Oh, Tony Romo is wanting to look at other teams to see if somebody wants to pick him up. Let's have Jerry make a call real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, CBS, let's sign him to a max extension and let's kick off another host because we need some Tony Romo. Granted, he's the greatest.
Oh, did you hear what happened today?
What happened
today? So Tony couldn't do the game today. So it was Jim Nance. Knew who he had with him?
Oh, yeah.
Boomer Esiason. You know what they didn't do? No Phil.
Oh.
No GM.
No.
No Phil today.
I don't know.
I felt bad, man.
Yeah, it just...
I mean, I don't miss Phil Sims, but, like, I feel bad that he's been relegated that far down the depth chart.
That's what it is. And it's because Jerry made the phone call.
Well, I think Phil's just like, I don't know. He's Phil.
Jerry has all the control, and it's just another situation for me. And Kellen Moore, obviously, he's going to be my future head coach.
Yeah, maybe so.
I mean, obviously, it's not even close.
Well, and also, like, Jerry got the deal orchestrated for the Rams' new stadium, too. The Chargers' new stadium. Like, he's set up for those teams to be in L.A. and everything else, too.
Jerry has all the power.
That was such a weird storm. Like, this is probably the most important part of it, and it's just completely glossed over, you know?
The only type of power that Jerry doesn't have at this point is over Goodell.
Yeah.
And that's what bothers him more than life itself. And that's why the refs will always go against the Dallas Cowboys. Not even me as a Cowboys fan. Okay. We suck and all that. But this is an Al Davis situation at this
That's
point.
Good. That's
what
good.
It is.
Well, I'm happy that you're happy.
I got a top 10 pick, baby.
Yeah. Well, it's like I picked Dallas to beat them because I was like, they'll just pick on Isaac Yiadom. They'll make, and like they have such good skill players. You know, Dalton doesn't have to do very
Something
much.
Will happen.
Like in that Philly game. But I was like, also, what's the most Dallas way to lose the division? Oh, they win today. Everybody gets excited. And then Washington comes out winning tonight. And they're up 10-7 currently
at the
moment.
Matt, it doesn't matter. They were going to lose or Washington was going to win anyways. I didn't know Alex Smith was playing tonight.
Yeah, he's playing.
Okay, well, it's game over. Dude, Alex Smith is going to take the Washington
you know,
Redskins.
Alex, again, like, Alex
Washington
Smith just...
team to the playoffs.
I'm going to have to bleep that.
Dude, you're going to have to cut that out.
I'm going to have to bleep it.
God, I'm so sorry.
It's going to sound a lot worse if I bleep it out, if I do that.
Oh, wait, that's
but
awesome.
Alex Smith just doesn't make mistakes. You know, like, there's something to be said about that. It's like, just don't screw everything up like Haskins had done for so long also.
Hey, man, Dwayne just wanted some booty in the face.
That's fine.
He needed some, as Pat McCaffrey would say, some adult ballerinas.
I like it.
I want to go to the adult ballet.
I don't
That's what
know.
I want to do. Let's go to the adult ballet tonight.
No, I want to do that.
Why not?
Yeah.
No, it's fine.
I've never been. I think I'm never going to go.
They're dancers, man.
Yeah, they're trying their best.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't know. All right, so the end of the year awards, we'll go through what, you know, the typical, you know, awards the lamestream media hands out at the end of every year. And then we have our fun, cool ones that we're going to do at the end of the regular season or at the end of the postseason, like the real, like, real fun stuff. We'll have a good time doing that. So for MVP this year, I have Aaron Rodgers.
See, and that's where it's stupid. Like, and the only reason why I say it's stupid, I chose Derrick Henry.
Okay.
And he's not going to win.
That's fair.
Aaron Rodgers is going to win, but I just wanted to choose Derrick Henry because if you're going off of the guy that deserves it, it's Derrick Henry.
Mm-hmm.
It's not Aaron Rodgers because Aaron Rodgers did Aaron Rodgers. Who cares? Who cares? Because it's also, for me, it's like, if we're saying Aaron Rodgers is the MVP, he's not better than Mahomes. He's not.
Yeah, he's not better than Mahomes. He just had a better year than Mahomes this year.
But who made the bigger transition? Who looked better to you, Josh Allen or Aaron Rodgers?
Rodgers is better than Allen this year, but he didn't make
biggest impact. That's what MVP is.
Or his most valuable player. But I was just saying, like, if Rodgers,
Allen over Rodgers.
No, I mean, I just saying, like, Rodgers is replaced with, like, Trubisky. The Packers would be like a 5 or 6 win team.
It's the same thing though.
Instead
Buffalo?
Of the one seed though.
Same thing with Buffalo.
I don't know. I think Dable could get enough out
of him. It's the same thing in Kansas City. If you really want me to get down to it, yeah. Come on, it's Pete Mahomes. If this is going to be a quarterback award, then just give it to Mahomes every single year. That's where I'm at with it. That's why
I
think it's
BS. Yeah, but I just think Mahomes is a better team around him and better offense around him.
But no.
It's just about, it's about that. It's why I made the argument for Wilson over Mahomes last year.
Quarterback.
Yeah, it's whoever is the most valuable quarterback.
That's all this is. Derrick Henry deserves it.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Good.
I'd still say it's Rodgers, but I agree with everything you're saying where you're coming from. Good. Next one here is Offensive Player of the Year. I have Derrick Henry for this one.
I have Aaron Rodgers for this one.
Okay. All right.
I wasn't going to discredit him for it. I was just going to be like, no, you don't get the MVP because it's not a quarterback award.
All right. Defensive Player of the Year.
Defensive Player of the Year. I had, hold on. Let me put defensive. Oh, man, I forgot my defensive. I put defensive rookie, but not my defensive player.
So mine, I have Myles Garrett, but I think it's probably Aaron Donald.
I was going to say, Donald after watching today with Arizona, because if you do not double or triple team him,
he's absurd.
Then it's done.
He's better than J.J. Watt.
If it's one-on-one, you lose, because then you're going to have to. The quarterback's going to be pushed one way regardless of what you're doing.
And then even then, it's like, oh, now you have Leonard Floyd who has 3 sacks today because you put 3 guys on him. JJ's 14th season was the best individual season I've ever seen from a defensive player, but Aaron Donald is a better overall player than Watt was over the course of their careers.
Well, you always remember, like, Watt, even though Watt had, like, one of still the greatest season of all time that I've ever seen, which was so much fun to watch. Donald, I don't think, has had that much fun with his season, but
he's just hard to see, though.
Well, it's because it's boring.
Well, and it's like he plays over the ball, and it's just hard to see him whenever you're watching the game live.
But if he's not there, or you just even watch the replays, you clearly see, you're like,
yeah.
Oh.
Or whenever I watch the coach's film, like, this is disgusting.
Yeah, and that's
he has
what
knives it, for hands.
And that's what it comes down to. It's being able to watch what he's actually doing, because you really can't see it live.
Yeah, it's very hard to see.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would say Myles Garrett just because I'm kind of tired of Aaron Donald getting it. And I think Myles Garrett was the best edge rusher this year, like a pure edge rusher. It's either him or TJ on the edge. And I think Garrett was a little bit better than TJ was this year, mainly because he doesn't have the same high blitz rate murderous defense that that Cleveland has. Like, Cleveland has a good front four, but it's the level that Pittsburgh has. So Offensive Rookie of the Year, who do you got?
I have Justin Herbert.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, really?
It's not even close.
Oh, I thought you were going to pick somebody else there. Yeah. I had Herbert. I was like, the moment you saw the man throw the ball, you go, oh.
The first game, I was like, there were some good throws. The second game, like, what is this?
The moment I saw him throw the ball 40 yards, I go, that's not normal.
That New Orleans game, you're like, this is transcendence, you know?
It was the weirdest thing watching him, because that's never what I expected to be able to go into the season and be like, oh, Justin Herbert's going to be the guy. Never in a million years. So being able to watch that, he's been the most fun. That's rookie. Come on. Mm-hmm. That's rookie offense.
Well, and he broke Peyton Manning's touchdown and passing yard record, and he did it in one less game, too.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's all you need.
That week one Bengals-Chargers game was such a funny game. Like, everything about it is hilarious, and, like, the uniforms were so grotesque. Like, it was just a disgusting game to watch all around.
Oh, and can we also give a shout-out? Port to Rod.
Yeah.
All right, Port to Rod. Come on.
Well, I made that joke earlier this year that
the Chargers
team
MVP
was the doctor punctured his lung.
There you go. That's what you want.
Defensive Rookie of the Year.
Defensive Rookie. Oh, dude, I'm going to cheat here. Even though he was a little bit injured, we're going with Dallas Cowboys. We're going with Diggs here.
Okay.
Right? And it's because I, at the beginning of the season, I talked so much crap laughing about him, being like, what are you doing? He let the guy just run right by him, blah, blah, blah. He improved.
He got better.
He got better as the season went on. We're just like, okay, dude, you're picking things up. You're becoming a better cover. Like
it's like just don't let guys run right past you. Make a decision three tenths of a second quicker.
Exactly. You're as quick as them. You just need to be a little bit smarter with your reaction. But he got better as the season went on. And even though I'm biased with this, that's really why
I missed the most biased thing you've ever had.
Yeah, probably. I won't disagree with this.
It'd be like if your son was like,
T-ball. And he was ninth on the team, and I said he was the best player. That's probably exactly.
Maybe like if your son was Andy Dalton, you're like, yeah, I think Andy should be comeback player of the year.
No, I don't know. No, I'm not going that far with that.
So comeback player of the year, who do you got?
No way. You didn't answer.
Oh, mine's Chase Young.
Oh, come on, man.
It's boring, but
yeah, boo.
Yeah. I mean, he's like what we all wanted Jadeveon Clowney to be.
Oh, yeah, where's the Jadeveon Clowney watch? Clowney watch.
You know who he's playing for next year, right?
Oh.
He's coming back home.
No, he's not.
He's coming home.
What are you going to pay for him? $20
million?
It's
going to be like that Nike commercial LeBron went back to Cleveland. And they play that coming home song. It's going to be like that.
Kaepernick one?
Yeah. Is that Kaepernick?
I don't know.
There's like, I'm not going to sing it all right now. But it's that I'm coming home song. It's going to be
it's
that.
LeBron one.
Jadeveon Clowney.
Is it where he's like. It's funny because it looks like a scene from Space Jam. Where it's like Charles Barkley going by like the blacktop.
Mm-hmm. It's that, but Jadeveon Clowney going to Houston next year.
You're not Charles Barkley. You're just a wannabe who looks like him. Get out of here. Just break out.
Comeback player of the year, I have Alex Smith.
You're going to hell if you don't pick Alex Smith. Yeah. I think that's the rule here.
Everyone wanted to pick Cam Newton, and then he was awful after 2 weeks.
Yeah,
Terrible. We
bragged about him the first 2-3 weeks.
Everybody did.
Yeah, and then...
I mean, New England made the right decision after the Brady thing to sign Newton, do what they did, and build the whole offense around him. Because, like, Cam was bad last year partly because he was hurt, and now he's healthier. What is it? And he's just done.
Oh, and now Carson Wentz will be their quarterback.
That's fine.
That's what's going to be happening.
Yeah.
So it's easy.
You know the Eagles would get, like, take a dead cap hit of $28 million next year? Like, they would lose $28 million if they trade him.
Well, they are going to take that cap hit because – it's Wentz has made it very clear. Apparently, like he's
not even suited up tonight.
No,
he's not in the backup tonight.
Well, that was the middle finger to Peterson.
Yeah,
it was. He's done. It has nothing to do with Jalen, nor the team, nor anybody. And that's what he has apparently said. The only person he has a problem with is Peterson.
Interesting.
And I thought so too. I go, if you're coming out and you're blatantly saying, no, everyone else, you're cool, you're cool, you're cool, F that guy.
Yeah.
That's a little bit different to me because that goes, oof, you guys did not speak well to each other.
Yeah.
I actually found that
a little bit different. What do you think he says? Like, we don't need you, Carson. We want a title without you.
Matt, that's exactly what I think
We're
happened.
Good. You're that's not bigger than the team. We don't need you.
That's exactly what I think happened. And if that is the approach that he went... you're an idiot.
Yeah, it's very rude.
I think that's exactly what he said. Carson, listen, man. We've done this. We've done this before without you, and I think we're going to be able to.
Yeah.
And it's, did you just say F me to my face? And that's, dude, I agree. I think it's a really bothering situation because it's so funny where usually, for example, Fitzpatrick coming out earlier, yeah, it's fun having to listen to the guy that just took your job, having to be able to take over the meetings, blah, blah, blah. No, this wasn't that. This was when Peterson can go to hell.
It was exactly how you described it. So, coach of the year.
Coach of the year. So, hold on. I do have this here. My coach of the year, I'm going with Ron Rivera.
Okay.
I have to. Because even going into this season, which I even think I called this a little bit, I said that Ron Rivera was my guy that I would love to have as my coach because nobody expected Washington.
We said they were a year away.
Yeah,
kind of like Miami, like they're a year away.
But they weren't.
Yeah.
Washington sucked because they had to play Dwayne.
Yeah.
That's why they were awful.
They're second in defense DVOA right now.
Yeah, and the defense is Ron Rivera
they're like last year's 49ers.
Ron Rivera just knows what to do with the defense. And that's where I'm at. And as a Cowboys fan, it makes me so jelly. But that's who I would pick.
Mm-hmm. That's fine.
And the cancer thing. Oh, my God. I'm not even bringing that up. And it's the cancer thing on top.
You know his house caught on fire when he was the coach in Carolina?
Oh, my God.
His whole house did. Yeah, that's a good one. I'm going to go Matt LaFleur just because, look, the Packers didn't get better this offseason.
Okay. Yes,
they added A.J. Dillon.
You and I did talk about this, too. And we actually, I think, we crapped on them.
Yeah. I was like, I'll bet my entire life
We crapped on them.
On them missing the playoffs next year. And like the over-under had them at like 9 wins. I was like, you bastards. If they did like 10, I would have gone under for sure. And they have the one seed. They didn't get better this offseason. But like Matt LaFleur like really understood his own limitations in his play calling last year, really expanded on what he was doing. To have a really great offense this year. And Green Bay is like, he's gotten the most out of Aaron Rodgers since, you know, their Super Bowl run this year. And they've had like a really great offense. They're 13-3. They beat bad teams by a lot of points. They beat good teams by a lot of points. They have the one seed. They also have to, like, if you're going to go to the Super Bowl, you have to play in Green Bay. And like Brett Favre has lost games like that before. And it's possible that, you know, that they can blow in the first round or the second round, third round or whatever. But to do everything they did with them without them getting better, is why I'm picking LaFleur.
I get everything you're saying. I just hate the fact where it's like, oh, yeah, Aaron and them, they seem like they're getting along. They're only getting along because they're winning games.
Yeah, for sure.
And by the way, you know what I want? I want Aaron to lose that first game. I want Aaron to lose that first game in the playoffs because that's what's going to make me happy.
So are they going to lose to Tampa? Oh,
look at you even saying that. Look at you.
Tampa's the one team that can beat them.
Yeah, easily.
Yeah.
And it's because if it turns into a shootout.
And you know who knows how to play in the snow?
Tom.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It's too cold. I'm getting the chills right now.
Dude, Tom, see, this is why you appreciate Tom.
Yeah.
And people don't get that, and people want to hate on this. But it's one of the moments where let Tom just kill.
Oh, well, we'll talk about this later. I'm so excited about that potential possibility.
That, by the way, that would be nuts, especially if it's in the snow, by the way.
Yeah, it would be.
Oh, my Lord. Even though everybody else on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers is going to be like,
yeah, yeah.
And tell them, shut up.
Well, yeah, crazy Antonio Brown. He doesn't feel anything.
That's actually
executive
frostbite on his feet still, probably.
Yeah, he improves. Plus 10 dexterity in the snow.
I don't even feel them anymore.
He's just running around barefoot out there. All right, so executive of the year. This is like your general manager. I know.
You go first on this one.
I'm the same guy I had last year. I had Brandon Bean, the GM of the Buffalo Bills.
Oh, for GM of the year? Yeah. Man, I had the same.
Yeah, trading for Diggs. Well, and also, like, I think the most interesting thing about the Diggs trade was that this is an all-time wide receiver class, and they looked at everybody, and they're like, no, we want Stephen.
I think the biggest...
We want Stephon instead.
See, the biggest disappointment for me this year, in all honesty, is that I kind of look like, not an idiot, but I had really my hopes. You want to talk about disappointment as a Cowboys fan? I wanted to give everything, especially GM of the year, to like Arizona. Like, I really wanted Arizona to be something this year. I really, really did. And I don't know what it was.
Kingsbury's not that good. That's part of it.
It could be. I don't know what is missing. And I watched a lot of Arizona games this year. I truly did. And maybe that's it because I don't know what it is.
I can talk for 10 minutes about Arizona's offense and how mad it makes
me.
So
you hate just the whole style of it?
No, it's not necessarily the style, but it's like the style, the idea of it isn't bad, but they don't execute to the idea of what it's supposed to be.
To go back to my point, though, that should have been for me GM of the year, but because the only one that I would give it otherwise is Miami's, whoever he is.
Yeah. That's good. It's like, who do Bill O'Brien the most?
And there you go. It's like, you know what he did? It's, and by the way, if Sam is listening to this podcast, you know what it's called? It's called a wine and dine.
Yeah, yeah.
You go out and you take
them
out.
I don't think they even needed to do that.
Bill, you want to come out? Let's have some bottles of wine. I'm going to buy you a steak. I'm going to make sure that everything is good. And then they're talking over dinner, and all of a sudden, it's a Michael Scott pool.
I don't think that ever happened.
You don't even think that
happened?
No,
what happened was that Bill O'Brien's like,
I'm trying to give him the benefit of the doubt with the wine and dine.
We signed Matt Kluber, left tackle. Oh, crap, Matt Kluber's terrible. Oh, we just fired the general manager because we try to get this guy in New England that we can't get. Okay, we need a left tackle. And our offensive line coach is bad. He can't get anybody else to play his position. All right, I want Laremy Tunsil. And then Miami's like, no, no. And they just kept watching him wriggle and wriggle and get more and more desperate. Laremy Tunsil even says, like, yeah, I trained me for that.
Oh, my God. That's
and then,
so
and
bad.
And then got, like,
$65
million guaranteed out of him.
That is never what you want to hear from the guy that got traded away.
And, I mean, they traded him the weekend before the season started.
That's like you going up to the guy. They traded you. What the F? They traded you for this. Oh, really?
Great move, man. Like,
damn.
Yeah, I do the same thing. I love Miami, but I do the same thing. All right, so what's your... All right, I'll save that one. But, yes. Yeah. So those are that's that for that.
You don't have anything else? Hold on.
Those are all the awards.
Oh, man.
We're going to save the cool ones for a separate episode.
I was going to say, you didn't want to do the cool ones.
We'll save that for after the Super Bowl.
Fine. Boo.
So tomorrow's Black Monday. Three coaches have already been fired: Detroit, Houston, and Atlanta. So it was recently announced that Peterson will be back next year. He's safe, even though Philadelphia is currently 4-10-1. These are possible firings: Adam Gase in New York, Taylor with Cincinnati.
No.
Well, these are possible.
No, I know, but no. They don't deserve it. Neither one of those that you've named so far.
What are you talking about?
You're talking about Giants?
No, I'm talking about Adam Gase with the New York Jets.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I thought you meant New York Giants. No. Oh, for some reason. Okay. No. I apologize.
You confused me.
Dude, I was thrown on whenever you said that. I was like, whoa, no.
No, I didn't include Judge on here.
Continue.
Even the Giants, they're bad this year. Like, they were playing hard.
That's what I mean. And even with the whole Tate thing, and there was even a dispute at the beginning where the wide receivers started coming out and talking crap, that was nipped in the butt pretty fast.
Yeah.
Which is really impressive. You didn't hear about it the next week.
Well, and even that loss to Dallas in, week two, they lost because their cool fake field goal was called by, a bad penalty.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I know, I'm Gase the Jets. They say, sources are in part ways. Oh, it's not official yet.
He's done.
I have Taylor with Cincinnati, Doug Marone in Jacksonville, Vic Fangio in Denver, and Lynn in the Chargers, who are now 7-9 after they won today. Against Kansas City's backup. So who do you think stays and who do you think goes out of those six teams there?
All right. So obviously, Jets gone. Cincinnati stays. Who else am I?
Jacksonville.
Jacksonville's gone.
Okay.
Who else?
Denver.
Denver's gone.
Ooh, okay. Chargers?
Chargers stays.
Ooh, okay. So I have... Jets for sure.
Jets,
Jacksonville
for
sure.
Yeah.
I think Denver stays.
What?
Hold on.
Why?
I say only this because the Broncos defense, despite the injuries, was pretty good this year still.
Were they ranked really in the top 10?
They were 11th in DVOA.
Really?
Yeah. They're pretty good this year.
Didn't think that
the problem was the offense. The problem was
the
quarterback.
I know, but it's always been the offense.
I know, but, well, I mean, unless like.
How many years is this?
I mean, unless.
Three, four?
Unless Elway was like, we need an offensive guy.
I think you need to fire Elway.
Well, Elway can't be fired.
I think we're at that point, though.
You can't fire him.
By the way, they better be careful. Elway is going to be Jerry when Jerry's dead.
Just get this kid's giving the team on accident.
Well, it's more like they're just going to keep letting.
Elway's just a GM, though. He doesn't own the team.
But to your point,
the owner died, though. Maybe he tries to buy the team from the kids.
And there it is, man.
He owns a ton of car dealerships in Denver, too.
By the way, if we just called this right now, this needs to be saved, recorded. Yeah, this is freaky now.
I don't like this one. But, I mean, they weren't bad because of Fangio. And, again, it comes back down the quarterback again there. So, I think he stays. And, Lynn, I know the Chargers are 7-9. They were a complete disaster in, the end-of-game situations.
You're blaming him, though?
Yes.
Whoa.
They had a game where they ran the ball with zero timeouts and 24 seconds left on 3rd and 1, and they weren't able to get another play or kick the field goal to tie it. It's in overtime.
Matt, I have no defense.
It's mentally ill. They should have been a playoff team this year. Herbert was the seventh best quarterback this year with the defensive talent they have, with the offensive skill talent they have.
Here's the issue.
They should have been a playoff team.
Here's the issue with what you're saying. If they were the NFC, if they were
no,
the,
even
N-
where,
no, no,
even the AFC,
if they were
they
the NFC, yes, you have a point completely. In the AFC, no.
Yeah.
You expect them to be 11-4 or
11-5
or 10-6.
They had to be 10-6.
It'd be 10-6.
They lost 4 or 5 games because of Lynn's mismanagement at the end of the game.
You think that they were that good of a team to where
I'm not saying that they were great, but I'm saying they lost 4 or 5 close games because of him specifically.
That's what you're saying. Yeah, that's what I mean. You're saying that they would be that good of a team without him.
Yeah, they swung to those games. They're a playoff team.
Man.
That's all I'm saying.
I think that no matter what, he's going to have another year.
I don't think he should. And he was bad last year. And then the year before that, remember, they had the best Chargers team ever. Or
Wait.
And they ran cover 3 against... Yeah, he was the coach last year.
Yeah.
And the year before that, he was the head coach whenever they beat Baltimore.
When did Herbert come
in? Then they play New England. And they ran the exact same cover 3 defense they've been running all year, and they gave up 38 points.
When did Herbert come in?
Week 2. After Tyrod got stabbed.
Okay.
By his own training staff.
I will say, yes, you are right. He deserves to be fired. However, if he is the one that made the call on Herbert.
He had no choice. He picked Taylor was his quarterback. He coached for Taylor in Buffalo.
No, he wanted Taylor
to be the quarterback.
No. I mean, was it his decision to draft?
No, of course not. It was the general manager's decision.
Okay. If he didn't have any type of say in Herbert whatsoever,
yeah.
Then yes, I agree with you 100%. Fired, gone, bye-bye. Because yes,
he coaches he's a defensive coach there.
Okay. I'm on board with you a little bit. I just don't think
he may have had a conversation with
Herbert,
like,
for
hey,
sure bought him another
we
year.
We can't do Philip another year. Maybe potentially that, but no. Like I think that's a for sure thing needs to happen. So I guess we have Detroit, Houston, Atlanta, the Jets, Jaguars, and then disagree on Denver and Los Angeles.
Yeah, because Denver should be fired.
I think he should stay.
Yeah, see, we're definitely different on those two.
Yeah. Okay, so out of all these jobs that could be available, if we include Denver and Los Angeles, which one's the best one available?
We've just been talking about it. We've just been arguing about it. It's Los Angeles. It's not even close. You take Herbert.
Yeah, I think it's for sure.
It's good. So who wants Herbert? Everyone's going to raise their hand.
Yeah, I think
raise
for
your
sure.
Hand immediately.
It's not even a question at all.
Yeah.
And so, like, if you're Bieniemy in Kansas City, if you're Dable in Buffalo, I think that's the easiest decision to make.
It's so simple.
The rest of their team is good, too. They have top defensive talent.
I was going to say they have
Herbert's only in year two.
There it is.
You have great skilled players. You have no salary cap problems.
Matt, this is the
Herbert.
Dream.
Yes. It doesn't get better than this.
Who are they going to get? Who do you think's their guy, though?
I don't know.
Like,
well,
that's
first
I'm really
they have
curious.
To fire him. But if they had a guy, I would say Bieniemy. I think he's the number one coaching candidate.
It'd have been amazing for me if somehow Kellen Moore was hired there.
It's not going to. You don't need to daydream at all.
Why can't I daydream a little bit?
And, like, it's weird because I think Bieniemy's been too good of a candidate. There's all this stuff coming out. Now it's like, I'm kind of concerned about him. Does he even coach call the plays in Kansas City? Does he even do this in Kansas City? It's like, I'm pretty sure he called the plays last year. The Chiefs have the best passing offense. He's been with Reed for multiple seasons now. They've been great every year.
Dude, Herbert would be feasting with a guy like that. Like,
yeah.
That's exactly where, with that individual coming in,
and with Watson as well, too.
Exactly. With that type of individual coming in, he already knows a quarterback that would be like Mahomes with Watson or with Herbert. But, dude, come on. The Chargers are going to give him money.
So, the second team, though, I have is Jacksonville.
No.
Number one overall pick. They're going to have $97 million in cap space next year.
Oh, my God.
They're going to have potentially Trevor Lawrence. They play in a division that's like,
I will say this about
good
the owner.
Or bad.
He
the
allows
owner
them to do whatever
money,
they want.
Keeps a hands on, and he gives you time,
he
too.
He does. He allows you to do whatever. I'm not going to say anything against
and
that.
That's kind of a good thing about Houston as well, too. Like, they allow the coaching staff, the general manager, have time there
too
as well.
Too much time.
Same thing in Jacksonville as well, though. Those guys stayed there 2 years too long.
Yeah, I'd say that 2 years.
That's fair. So I have Jacksonville, too, for that reason. And then I have the Jets third. Again, same thing. You have cap space. You have a second overall pick.
Nope.
You have the possibility of taking Fields or trading down.
You have nothing. You're done. Get off this team.
I don't think you have nothing.
Nobody
Their defense
should have
is
anything.
Pretty good.
Uh-huh.
They have Quinnen Williams.
Jason Garrett should go
around.
And be hired from this team. That's who belongs
not
on
going
the Jets.
Anywhere.
He's not because the New York Giants are a team with Garrett. God, you know what I hope
We're
for?
We're talking about the Jets.
No, I know.
Okay.
But Garrett, he is going to be offensive coordinator of the year.
All right. And, like, their offensive line, they add a lot to it. It was bad, but, like, Becton's still really good. And they have some okay, like, interior play there as well. And so for, like, those two reasons, and, like, you know, like, drafting second overall, have the chance to have a quarterback, and then being able to trade Darnold potentially, too, and getting a third-round pick or and having a chance to have Fields kind of build something. Like, I think that's what somebody wants. It's, like, a whole new start whenever they come into a team. And then I have so those are my 1, 2, and 3, and I have Houston number 4.
Yeah, I would say still L.A. I'd probably pick Houston. I probably would pick Denver. And yeah, everybody else, who cares?
Jacksonville's good. It's
no,
a good
I
spot.
I don't understand why
it's
you
a
like
really
Jacksonville.
Good spot. I'm just saying, like, completely neutral. Completely removing how much I like the color teal. Completely how much
I just
like
don't
the
get that one.
The
I
big
like
cat.
Those three teams that I mentioned, you have something that you can look forward to.
You have $97 million in cap space and Trevor Lawrence.
But who's your guy?
And you have 2 first-round picks next year.
At least with Denver, what we're going off of, you have a defense to be able to work off of.
It's a pretty good defense because of Fangio, though. If you're coming into Denver, I don't think you get the same thing out of that defense that he just got out of it.
I think you still have the talent, though, to be able to get that. You still have the talent there, though.
But
there
again,
is still talent.
I think that defense is more representative of how good Fangio is as a defensive coordinator than the talent they have there.
Man.
Their edge rushers this year were Jeremiah Adewuchu and Malik Reed, you know? Do you like Draymond Jones? That's
I love
your pass
Draymond
rush.
Jones.
Von Miller's like 33 now.
Yeah,
he
looks
missed
great.
He played zero games this year.
I know. It's because Bradley he's Chubb being was healthy for next year.
Bradley Chubb was hurt again this year, too.
I knew that.
Yeah, I'm saying like that's more representation of Fangio, though. But again, Jacksonville, you get two first-round picks. You're going to have like $97 million in cap space.
What's their second pick going to be from?
It doesn't matter.
Well, wait. Where is it in the lineup? Well,
it's the Rams pick.
Oh, it's the Rams pick. Okay.
Yeah. And then you have Trevor Lawrence. It's good.
Oh, no. They're for sure getting Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah. It's good.
I don't like it still.
Okay.
I'm just not a fan of this.
You're crazy.
Yeah, I'm not. That's fine. I can be crazy as we want, but you know what? I don't like this.
All right. You're
I'm just
crazy.
Not a fan of it.
All right. So if you fire Mike McCarthy, who would you be your number one head coaching choice for next year? Who's your favorite guy out there?
To be honest with you, I don't even think I have a favorite guy. I don't even think I think of another person besides Kellen Moore.
Okay.
Like, it's because the moment I saw that extension, and that's where, sure, like I'm biased, sure, I may be stupid, but the moment I saw that extension, it's like, I'm kind of done. Like, that's where I'm really at with it, where I'm just, there's no, once McCarthy's gone, it's Kellen Moore.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any type of dispute whatsoever. The only thing I hope for is that Nolan is
okay.
gone after this
so
season.
So you've given up.
I've given up. Oh, dude, that come on.
Okay.
The extension is a little ridiculous. After he was offered the Boise job, all of a sudden, here's an extension. Shut the F up.
Yeah.
Get that out of my face. Like, come on.
Unbelievable. Well, yeah. So for me, it's Bienemy 1, Brian Daboll number 2, and number 3, Arthur Smith. I want to see Arthur Smith stay in Tennessee another, just because they're so perfect there. Like, what he has going on in Tennessee is so beautiful that I don't want to be messed up as a Titans fan. But I think if Houston gets either one of those three guys.
Did you just call yourself a Titans fan?
Yeah.
I don't want it to be messed up as a Titans fan.
Yeah.
That's what you just said word for word on a Houston Texans podcast.
People know how I feel about the Titans.
You know what? You make me sick. I know how you feel about the Titans. They're your favorite team.
They're my
You've been bloviating about him since the first game of the season.
It's Houston.
Oh, no.
Buffalo 2A.
Titans.
Titans 2B.
Buffalo.
No.
Dude, you have not.
Dude, Houston Texans number 1.
You love yourself some Titans.
Yeah, I love the Titans.
God.
And so
you love
that,
the colors too.
They're okay. I just like the fact that they have dark blue jeans and light blue jeans.
There we go.
It cracks me up. But because of that, like, I wouldn't want to see Arthur Smith come here. Another concern about Arthur Smith in Houston, Logan Thomas is so ridiculous.
Oh, my Lord.
That was Logan.
That.
Yeah, he's ridiculous.
Oh.
But the thing about Arthur Smith is so much of his offense is based on their outside zone scheme and their offensive line. And I don't know if he can get that same old production from Houston's offensive line. Dude, no matter how much they have, $32 million, 2 first-round picks, 2 second-round picks invested in it, still a bad offensive line. And so I don't know if Arthur Smith can get more out of it. That's one concern I have there, though. So I think either one of those three guys would be, you know, really good in that matter. Yeah, Logan Thomas.
Matt, I'm just still blown away right now. Logan Thomas, this guy is going to be something for
real. He already
real,
is
for
something.
For
he
real,
is.
For real, though.
You know how many snaps he played against Carolina?
It has to be every snap.
He played every snap.
That's what it has to be.
A tight end.
That's what you
he
have
played
to
every
do.
Snap.
Man, he's
tight
not
ends
just
don't
a tight
do
end.
That.
He's everything.
Yes.
Yes.
He's a good blocker.
God, he is.
No, a tight end playing 100% of the snaps is outrageous.
I've had so many I'm jelly of that Washington has besides the defense. Where did they get that
from,
man?
Buffalo.
That boy is insane.
You know what he did in Buffalo?
What?
He played special teams and he would just blindside block people. You're like, this is disgusting, Logan. It was awful. I hated Logan Thomas in Buffalo.
Why is that what he was doing?
He was just murdering people. Like, it was gross what he was doing. And, like, Washington turned him into a tight end. Like, he was already a tight end and they, like, turned him into a most important part of their offense.
Man, that doesn't make any sense.
I'm just telling you what happened.
No. You can tell me all that happened. You don't take a special team player and make him the number one option on your team, and then he turns out to be the top 5 tight end in the league.
Yeah, but the thing about tight ends, though, is they usually – he wasn't even a tight end. He was a former quarterback from Virginia Tech.
I know. They have
him
throwing the ball, too.
But what I'm saying, though, is, like, tight ends usually need, like, 3 years or so to develop.
What
does
that guy get?
I think he's had like 4 or 5 years.
This is nuts.
Sometimes
what this
tight
guy
ends
is.
Take longer time, though.
This man's a man.
Yeah, he's awesome. All right, so for the playoff picture, the AFC's been set up. We have Kansas City as the one seed. We have number 2 Buffalo versus number 7 Indianapolis. Oh my God.
Isn't this what your dream
is?
This
is all I dream of.
This is what your dream is. I figured this is what you want.
If Indy wins, I'll probably never do this again.
Yeah.
I'll need like a month to recover.
This is really going to destroy you, which by the way, I'm picking Indy. Spoiler alert. All right,
well, we're not doing that.
I know.
I'll be completely eviscerated.
No, I just want to destroy you because that's why I'm picking Indy. I'm just going to do that.
I'll cry. Like, I may
cry. I'm going to do all my research over Indy just so I can destroy you.
Okay.
That's what I'm going to do.
I think it's a bad matchup for him, though.
I agree.
Number 3, because like, Buffalo has such a great spread passing attack that can stretch their zone defense.
Dude, we talked about it.
Holes,
we're going
just
home.
Stretch them around.
We're going home.
The third game, Pittsburgh has a 3 seed against 6 seed Cleveland.
Pittsburgh's going to lose.
I don't think so.
And that's all. And that's just because Pittsburgh looks awful.
Well,
they look terrible.
I don't
want to
get too much into this.
No, that's fine. But to end the season, you don't want to end the season the way they have.
Well,
ended
they play
the
their backups.
Man,
today,
not their last. I'm talking about like the last 6 weeks here, man.
Yeah,
this is.
I'm
yeah,
not discouraged.
This is an awful last 6 weeks that this team has played. You can't have any sort of confidence going into playoffs. And Cleveland has all the confidence
why?
In the world. What do you mean?
They
why?
Lost the Jets.
They look like it. It's a bad loss, though.
Any
it's
given Sunday.
It's a not showing up game. Exactly.
Any given Sunday.
But think about it. That's the game that you lost.
But I mean, they still barely beat Pittsburgh's backup
still
today.
Beat Tennessee.
And when they played actual Pittsburgh, they got beat like 40-6.
I actually don't agree at all.
I think it's a bad matchup
I
for Cleveland.
I think Pittsburgh, if they actually played Ben, then he would suck.
All right. Last game, Tennessee against Baltimore, a rematch of last year.
This is a joke.
Tennessee at home.
By the way, spoiler alert too with one of my awards. Most disappointing player, Lamar Jackson. They don't stand a chance.
He's been a lot better the last 5 weeks.
What did
the
we
team's
talk
been bad.
About,
I know,
what
I know.
Did
but
we
I will
talk about
look,
you
look,
are the
look,
one that
I
called
know,
this. You
know,
are the one
I
that
know.
Said this to me, not me.
I know.
You said this saying that the media
I know,
everybody
I know.
Would be talking about saying Lamar's this, Lamar's that. And now you're saying that? Don't,
all I'm
don't
saying
throw
is
that,
that
to me.
I'm not saying that at
don't
all.
Don't do this.
I'm just saying he's been a lot better lately. That's all
Matt,
I'm saying.
Don't do it. Don't.
That's all I'm saying.
Stop it. Who cares if he's been better? That's what we said.
Everything I said came true, though, with that.
Yeah, I know, which is why in the end your overall argument to that was who cares, ignore it,
yeah,
it doesn't
I'm,
mean anything.
But I can still say Lamar's been a lot better because he has been.
Sick. You make me sick now.
He has been a lot better.
No, we both I hate you.
The thing about the Titans
that
scares me is like they had to play the perfect Tennessee game to
not
win.
Against Lamar.
They had to last year.
I just it's but, not
okay,
this
Baltimore.
Year.
Baltimore was like 92% on fourth down. So it went 0-for-4 on fourth down. They lost 3 fumbles. So many things that I go around that game for him.
And Lamar Jackson is
but
40,
that was
42
a better,
touchdowns and 0 interceptions in the red zone. But who
well, I'm not
cares?
Saying that.
Oh, what I'm
that
saying,
never happened.
But I think that's actually a real stat.
No, it's not. But this year, but Baltimore
me.
Baltimore is worse this year than they were last year. But last year for them beat them, so many things that happened for that to happen. So who knows? We'll it's, talk about it later this week.
Lamar's awful.
So in the NFC, Green Bay is the one seed. They get off. The next game is number 2 New Orleans against number 7 Chicago. All reports to that Drew Brees is retiring in this year as well too.
Yeah, I know, because his arm's about to turn into a flat tire as it always does in the playoffs. Choo choo, here we go. Train's not taking
do you think
off
he gets
Chicago.
Benched? They're going to be at home in the dome, so
if
like Brees is going to be okay.
My honest opinion. If Taysom Hill is playing, they win.
Oh no, he's going to get cucked. Like they're going to bring Taysom Hill in to throw deep passes and stuff.
Dude, Drew
they're
Brees
going
is,
to do it.
Drew Brees is done.
The next game, number
he's gonna be on the sideline, like pumping his like arm yeah. up, like it's like, it's a damn ball.
I think we made this joke before, like two years ago. I think so.
By the way, it doesn't matter. It still stands to this day. So I love the joke.
The next game, number 3 Seattle against number 6 Los Angeles.
Seattle's a bunch of a-holes, so I want to say that Seattle's going to easily win, but they can easily just blow
yeah,
it.
Yeah, Seattle's like, never played a normal game.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. Because, by the way, regardless, I would never bet on this game because this game is going to be a 2-point, 3-point game.
Yeah.
With Seattle versus Rams. And it's because Seattle's a bunch of douchebags.
Well, and like Seattle's defense did a really good job taking away the middle of the field in their game they won against Los Angeles 2 weeks ago with Goff healthy. And without Goff, like, who knows?
Who knows, man?
Who knows? And then the last game is going to be number 5 seed Tampa against either the Jets or Washington. Washington's up 17-14 during halftime right now.
Did you see that Logan Thomas?
They're not going to lose. They're not going to lose when you have Alex Smith doing what he's doing.
It's like Alex Smith just not making mistakes.
But that's, and just to let you know, spoiler alert too on this. Who are they going to play in the first round? Washington?
They're playing Tampa.
I'm going to go this far. Wait, I can't go that far. Never mind.
Yeah, but they'd be home though.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter at all. Tom's going to be Tom.
Yeah.
And just to let you know, if Tom is Tom, if Tom goes to the Super Bowl, regardless of, even if he goes to the NFC Championship and he loses, I don't want to hear anybody.
Yeah.
I really don't want to hear, I told you, I said he was going to, look how bad Tom. Shut the hell
Tom
up.
Tom was great this year.
Like, just shut the hell
He's
up.
He's the greatest of all time. He was very good this year. He is better than everybody thought he would be.
Matt, if he makes to the NFC Championship game, everyone looks like a bunch of R words. I can't get my line to say that one.
I don't like that word.
Exactly. See, I'm not allowed to say it. Either way, it's just it's bad because Tom, to me, this is what I laugh about with people. I'm not a New England. I'm not a Tampa fan.
Yeah.
It's just, how are you going to keep
criticizing? Have you ever met a Tampa fan?
You.
I've talked to, yeah. I'm not,
I was
going to
say, like, you like
the way I haven't really been a Tampa fan this
year. Your Tommy Brady shirts over there with your Hawaiian-ness.
No, like, I'm surprised by how good Tom has been this year. And, like, I love their defense. A lot of things I smelled last year about happening this year came true, but with Tom Brady instead of Jameis Winston. And that's a ridiculous throw. I like their gray jerseys,
too. And you just saw a highlight
too.
Of Tom, and you just said it's a ridiculous throw. Yeah. Because Jameis can't make that throw.
Rolling right. No, Jameis can.
Oh,
but he would throw two or three other interceptions to top it off with, you know.
By the way, I think the New Orleans Saints are turning him into a running back, too.
What? Oh, because everybody's sick?
Yeah.
He's not even a good running back.
Who knows? He's a big body.
Yeah. I guess he'd be a fullback. I don't know. But yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun next week. And I don't – do you like the extra playoff team? Because I don't like it. The Colts should not be in the playoffs right now.
Well, no. That's where I disagree with you.
The Bears should not be in the playoffs right now.
Okay. Well, that I agree with you.
The even Colts though, lost to Jacksonville week one. They though, should not be in the playoffs right
even
now.
Even though it's kind of silly to me because I – and again, I'm not going to probably change it. I think Chicago, if Drew Brees is the starter, Chicago's going to win.
We'll talk about that.
I know, but that's my point, though, on why I kind of like it. I don't want to like it, but I think I like it.
It's just
my argument.
My thing is, though, it's like I love playoff football. Great. It's just me hard to watch six games.
It's going to be hard to watch, or are you going to
love
watching it?
It's 9 hours.
Oh, no.
9 hours.
Oh, no. There's so much other great quality TV. Matt,
I'm not
watching Cartoon
that.
Network from 2001 right now because TV is so awful.
Yeah.
What are we talking about?
You can do other things and watch the television. That's all I'm saying.
It's fine. It's fine. Let's go outside.
It's just gonna be
Let's
hard.
Enjoy the weather.
It's
I
be,
love
I
this.
I like the Saturday 3 o'clock game, the Saturday night 7 o'clock game. I like Sunday at 12, Sunday at 3. I love it. Six games is a lot. I don't know how I'm going to write about it or how we're going to preview it, how we're going to talk about it, but we'll figure it out. And, you know, me saying this next week, I'm going to be like, you know, it was badass. You know how I loved?
Dude, I know. And all you're going to be like is, Taylor, why are we in Vegas right now, dude?
Oh,
what
I
are
know.
We doing? See, and I'm broke. Come on. In all fairness.
You just had to do it.
In all fairness, come on. Taylor's off the market. He got himself a wedding ring. He got himself and making himself.
Well, we'll do it next year.
I'm being a big man.
I'm very proud of you. We'll do it next year.
I went from 5'6 to 5'8.
Yeah, we'll do it next year.
Yeah.
All right. We'll go next year, though.
Fine.
All right.
Deal.
All right. So that's our show for tonight. I don't know what we just did, but I think we're going to talk tomorrow, not you and I, but I'm going to talk to Tim.
I want to talk to you.
And we're going to wrap up the 2020 Texans season and answer all your really great listener questions. And then we'll be back on, I guess, we said Thursday or Wednesday?
Thursday
to preview the 2020 wildcard round. They're calling it the super wildcard round now.
Dude, it's a good time. You're just being a hater right now, but you're going to love it next week.
Is it the super divisional round two next weekend? We got six games next weekend also.
Yeah, I'd say it's called the super round.
Oh, no, we got, damn. Okay, we only got, okay, good, good.
We
only
two?
Got four games next weekend, good.
No.
Yeah, we got four next, we got six this weekend, four next weekend. That's very good. All right. I'm good. Okay with this now.
All right, see?
I don't have to be six
in
this.
Such a baby.
I'm very dumb. So anyways, that's our show for tonight. We'll be back on tomorrow. Oh, Adam Gase just got fired. It's official now.
That one's so easy.
But we'll be back on tomorrow night. We'll be back on Thursday night. And I'll have some stuff to write as well, too, about, you know, the overall 2020 NFL playoffs and everything too. So until next time, I'm Matt Weston. Thank you for listening to Battle Red Radio. Thank you for being on tonight.
You don't come to my wedding, you're an ass.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gary Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prof G Pod, we bring you insights from blue flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.